thank you for allowing me personally to discover who I am in Christ. This is not just another wonderful song, even though I love the song. But because of you, I have a life worth living. A life that I thought would go nowhere as a young boy. Even opportunities opened up, I didn't see myself worthy, acceptable to other people. But because of you, saw value in me, because you put it in me. When I received your son Jesus, thank you for teaching me who I am as a child of God in Christ. Thank you. We give this time to you, Lord, so speak. And we will listen. This is your time, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Bring clarification and understanding in the way you know best how to do it, in a loving, powerful way. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. We're going to continue our study about why bad things happen to good people. I want to welcome our audience on the internet, watching live stream, and this is a good message for you as well. It will help answer some questions that you may have, either yourself, maybe in the future, or you have a friend or family member that has this concern. They're a good person. They're nice people. How could this happen to them? And that oftentimes turns out to be, you can't blame anybody, but you blame God. And that's what Job did. Job is a man in the scripture referred to as a man who was upright, walking in integrity, the man that did not do evil. So he was a good guy, good Christian guy if he was alive today. But some things happened. His 10 children got killed. And after his children were killed, then he got sick. And then his wife added more fuel to the fire and said, you know what, you ought to curse God and die. I guess she thought about, I'm going to meet a new husband. Your attitude is not good. you ever seen people who got a bad attitude, nobody wants to be next to them, be around them? That's probably where Job was. Kind of a stinking attitude. And not to put him down, but just to assess it. Because sometimes that could happen or may have happened to us. Maybe happened to some of you even watching or here today. But look at here in Job 3, verse 25. We've been teaching on this for the last several weeks, but I want to kind of clean up and finish up today about how Job opened the door for Satan. It says, he said this, "For the thing I greatly feared," say, "I greatly feared," "has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." This is not mind science, you know, kind of stuff, you all. It's Bible insight. Amen. It matters what you choose to believe and what you hope for or fear. Because that's why Jesus talked a lot about faith, because faith is opposite of fear. Amen. And too often we become comfortable with being afraid. We have rides. We go to various places just to get afraid, okay, to haunted houses. Are you following me? And I'm not, you know, if you like the haunted house, that's your thing. But I want to encourage you, fear is not your friend.
That's right. Amen.
And there's nothing to play with. And especially when it comes to your life, your future, your family, your loved ones, your destiny, that you need to operate in faith, godly expectation. But fear comes to all of us. Both my hand goes up.
Amen.
I got to deal with it.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, that you're a bad person, that fear comes. It comes from the enemy. The Bible tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Notice it's a spirit, it's the evil spirit. But of love and of power and of a sound mind. God has given us that, not fear. And so I want to encourage you, because sometimes people embrace it and they've let the devil in.
All right.
And you know what? Just say, for example, they're afraid to fly. A person, and then, you know, you may, if you're not careful, they'll think that's all I'm afraid of. But see, you let fear in, now you're afraid of not driving at night when you get older. Now you're afraid not to apply for that nice job you really want, but you're afraid you may not get accepted or go to that college you really like to go to. See, fear won't stay in the corner. You let him in. He goes throughout the whole house. Say the whole house. Because Jesus says the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy.
Amen.
Your reputation. Everything about you. So I want to share that up front, because that's how the door got open to a good guy. Say a good guy. A good person did not do anything overtly evil, just didn't understand the power of his words and how fear can impact him. So after this happened in his life, Job complained even more. in his frustration and bitterness after his family tragedy. Look at Job chapter 7, verse 11. It says, therefore, I will not. This is Job speaking. This is at the depths of his frustration. He's mad. His friends began to come to talk to him. They really added fuel to the fire as well. Put vinegar in the wound, if you would. Salt in the wound. Just made it worse. He's like, come on. I didn't do nothing wrong. You must have did something. The bad stuff don't happen to good people like you. You must have did something. Tell the truth. I didn't do anything. So now he's mad at his friends. But then he gets bitter. Say he gets bitter.
He gets bitter.
It says here in Job 7:11. Therefore, I will not. This is important. Notice the emphasis on I will. He's making putting a stake in the ground. I will not refrain my mouth. I'm going to keep talking and complaining. You even know anybody like that? Mm-hmm. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. It's not helping it. But he made a firm statement. And so he made it worse for himself. I'm not saying, God's not saying that the pain is not real. It didn't hurt, disappointment and all that. It's real. But going here doesn't help, my friend. Amen. Now, in the case of Job, he didn't know that. And we're going to realize, share in a moment how God helped him understand. In fact, he's going to admit later, he did not understand. And too often, this book is preached about and talked about in churches or by preachers, and they only give you the first couple of chapters insight, not the rest of the book. They don't tell you how he ended up better off, much better off than he started off. They don't tell you that. They just tell you about, yeah, Job had his problems. And then a quote of verse that Job said, though he slay me, speaking of God, yet will I trust him. It was good to trust him. And he did trust him. But he began to kind of wind down and whine and cry and complain. And it made his suffering worse. Say worse. But God challenged Job. I referenced this last time, but it bears repeating, and then we'll move on. It's in Job 40, verse 6. Then finally God starts talking to Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, after all these days and months of talking and complaining, verse 7, now prepare yourself like a man. Get up, come on. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Verse 8, would you indeed annul my judgment? In other words, what I said, you want to make it as none effect? Would you condemn me, speaking of God himself, that you may be justified? How often people, when they have problems, serious problems, they end up blaming God. They take no credit for it. I don't have even nothing to do with that. It got to be all God. And they do it not intentionally. They do it because they don't understand. They think, if you're good, God, and you're great, why you let this happen to me? I've been trying to do good, a good parent, a good father, a good mother. And then this happens. And they think God has their life in his control. No. You got to put your life in his control.
Right.
We decide where our life goes. And if we put it in the hand of God, then now it's that God can direct you. But if it's not there, then we're making decisions that's impacting our life. Look at verse 12. Look on everyone who was proud and bring him low. Notice the phrase, tread down the wicked. Say, tread down the wicked. Tread down the wicked in their place. Now notice it didn't say tread down the Christians. Tread down the wicked. That's why I reference again Luke 10:19, where we get our name Zoe from. Jesus starts off, he says, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's wicked. He said, I've come that you may have life and have life more abundantly.
Amen.
And then Jesus says this in Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on, step on, walk on, serpents and scorpions. Those are demons.
Amen.
Yeah, Jesus believed in demons because they're real. Not to be afraid of them, but they're real. And nothing shall by any means hurt you when you begin to walk in who you are. We've been singing about and rejoicing with a nice song. I know who I am. Do you really? With all the abilities. Not just you're going to heaven. With all the authority. All the rights. All the privileges. As a child of the Most High God. Do you really? And if you don't, we can help you learn that. But that's the gap. And one of the challenges about Job, and again, no fault of his own, this is the first oldest book of the Bible, you all. So he's kind of like a, you know, kind of, could say kind of a guinea pig, so to speak, kind of first guy. And finally God said, you know, I'm going to help you. And I'm going to help you and then have a book written about you and help the whole world that believes in me to learn. But even though bad things happen to good people, I'm still a good God.
Amen.
And it's going to be powerful. I'm about to show you how God comes through in his life.
Amen.
But again, most preachers don't teach about that. They start off just the bad stuff that happened to Job and leave us with the impression, well, I hope I dodge God's bullet today. That's how many Christians end up. They're hoping it don't happen. And what happens, that turns out to be fear too. Like you said, the thing that I greatly feared came upon me. Verse 13, hide them in the dust together, bind their faces. Say bind their faces.
Bind their faces.
The Bible tells us to bind and loose. Jesus made it very clear. The authority we have as Christians. But God, you do it. No, he told you to do it. But God, no, you. I give unto you power to tread on serpents. And this is what God is saying to Job personally. Before Jesus even came to the earth, before Jesus had it written, it's said by God to Job. Meaning it was God's mind all along to have man have authority in the earth. And not the devil to run his life. But if you don't know, then we get taken advantage of. And that's what the Bible says in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's what we don't know that hurts us.
Amen.
And then he says in verse 14, I love it. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. It was in your hand all along. So Job acknowledged that he said things he did not understand, but now he saw God properly. Say, saw God properly. Look at Job 42. As I began to study it, I began over the years, I wrote a whole teaching. In fact, it's a draft of a book I began to write about 10 years ago as I studied Job, and I said, this is so powerful. So I'm teaching you again some insights about it. Verse 3. Job 42, verse 3. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Now Job starts talking. Therefore, I have uttered that what I did not understand. Say, I did not understand.
I did not understand.
Then he says, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. You can imagine how Brother Lorenzo, after all these years, since 1968, this constant pain, practically always at a scale between 7 and 10 of pain. And wondered, how long, God? But he kept trusting God, as opposed to throwing the towel. You know what, God? That's too wonderful. I never get healed. And that's what Job was. Too wonderful. God's promises, too wonderful. Too good to be true. In fact, when you read about Abraham, why God loves Abraham so much, in Romans chapter 4, the Bible says he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. In other words, that's too good to be true. I can't happen. I've never seen that before. Why not? It'd be the first time in your life. With God and you together, all things are possible. That's what Jesus says. To him that what?
Believe.
Him that what?
Believe.
Believeth. But sometimes, again, not knowing we can have access to God, to a good God. He's still the same God yesterday, today, forever. That sometimes it's like too wonderful. And that's what Job recognized and said in the scripture. I did not understand how good God was. He finally got it near the end of the book. He finally got it. And I was talking, I was uttering things that I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me. So it's not if you've done that before and kind of come against God, it's not a matter of making you feel bad. Just realize you didn't know. Now you can know.
Amen.
And God forgave him and God worked with him. He'll do the same thing with you and me. But the key is you want to begin to get to a place and stay in a place where you know who God, that he's a good God. He's a loving God.
Yes.
And he has your back and he's giving you authority in the earth.
Amen.
That's why our prayer is so important. Why bother? Come on.
Yeah.
If God don't hear prayers and don't respond to them, why bother with it? You have a right to go to God and God answer our prayers. Let me just share this too about why bad things happen to good people. This is one area, fear. Could be other areas, like procrastination. I call cousins of fear. We don't call it that, but that's what it is. Now, when do you want to go back down there and apply? You say you're going to go to school, right? Get your application in? Yeah. Now, last time I talked to you about 6 months ago, that was the fifth time then. I'm going, you know, we're walking down there together. What is that? Fear. You may get turned down. They won't accept you. I understand. But it has cousins, and we end up accepting fear. And what we don't know oftentimes is that people are behaving with fear, and they've accepted it, and it gives the enemy place in their life. Like it did Job. Verse 4, here in Job 42. He says to God, listen, please, God, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. Okay, verse 5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I heard about you, God, but you know what? I see clearly right now. I see you. And that's too often the case. We hear about what God is like. Now, again, he had no scriptures to rely upon. There was no Bible written when Job lived on the earth at that time. So he had to go through this, and God was so wonderful, so gracious, so blessed to talk to him and have it written for us so we can learn from it. And appropriate, where's needed, make appropriate adjustments in our thinking and our believing that God is not trying to hurt us.
Amen.
That we can trust in him in spite of what we may be going through. And take some responsibility. Well, I don't like reading the Bible. I thought man wrote the Bible, or all the these and thous. We have a lot of translation to help you. Okay. Well, I got things to do. Okay, if you didn't read the Bible, don't learn. Don't blame it on God. Some things are in it that you didn't understand because you didn't understand it or didn't read it or didn't get taught. I want to minister to you. Because sometimes we don't want to take responsibility for what happens in our lives. You know, I've done a number of funerals over the years, and sometimes people tell you kind of figure out sometime or learn sometime what really happened. And I'm realizing, you know, you're not happy your loved one died, but it started kind of leaning toward blaming God. You find out he was a gangster. Come on. He was a drug dealer. I know you loved him, he was your son, but he was, come on, sister. Now you're mad at God? My son, you know what? I know it's hard, but you've got to deal with it. And God says, I know everything. And because someone else that I know, you know too about your boy or your daughter. And so we're not here to judge anybody. It's about us. It's what all this communion is about. Examine yourself. You know, examine you. I don't need to examine you. I got enough to examine over here, okay? Come on. I need to examine me. Because preachers have issues too. And we got to deal with our issues.
Amen.
And then he says in verse 6, I love it. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent. Say repent.
Repent.
In dust and ashes. Just humbly. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Just say when we have an encounter with the Lord, just say, Lord, okay, I got it. I got it, God. See, Job had an encounter with the Lord. And he spoke with them the truth, and he received it. He didn't argue with them. Why you took so long? He didn't go there. He didn't say, why you took so long? Why not just kill one of my sons? Well, God wouldn't kill him anyway. He just says, okay, God, I said things I didn't understand. Things too wonderful for me. Solomon said this. One of the wise men that walked the earth except Jesus. Wisdom is the principal thing. But out of all you're getting, get what?
Understanding.
But notice, you don't walk down the street and get understanding. You got to go after it. You got to dig like you do in your math class and your history class and your biology class and your Spanish class. You got to go what? After it. God deserves as much time as your math class does.
Amen.
If you want his understanding. Because it's about life after math class and school is over with. After Job recognized, Job. Maybe somebody needs something out there. God's talking to somebody. Job, no. Job. All right. Stop. We're in church. Stop. After Job recognized the error of his ways and prayed for his friends, he had three friends that accused him. God turned the captivity, say captivity.
Captivity.
And that's the word God used in scripture, it's powerful. Of Job, the captivity of Job, and blessed him. He blessed that boy, giving him double for his trouble. Say double for his trouble.
Double for his trouble.
Say it again.
Double for his trouble.
I love it. Now we're going to see the verses that talk about that. Oh God, this is so good. See, he had tragedy. Lost his 8-10 children. Sick. About to lose his wife. She said, curse God and die. Okay. She's on her way out. Or maybe after he dies, she can get somebody else moved in. Okay. I don't know what she was thinking, but it wasn't good.
Amen.
But he said, you talk like a foolish woman. I'm not doing that.
That's right. Amen.
Verse 10 of Job chapter 42. It's powerful. And the Lord restored Job's losses. Say, restore Job's losses.
Restore Job's losses.
Come on, who does that but God? Who restores your losses?
Yes.
Come on. Now, I know, but that's in the Bible for Job. I get it. But you got to look at the verses all together. Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you ever done it with somebody in the yesterday time, God, I'm going to believe you to do it in my life today. Thank you for that. Boy, for two or three hand claps. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because that's where our faith comes. Well, you did it for Esther. You did it for Moses. You were good. If you will believe, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for you. But will you believe, he'll do it for you. All you have to do is have it written. See, when you have a good lawyer and you want to try for something, they look at the law. They know the law. A good lawyer knows the law and does his homework or her homework.
Yes.
And gets cases, sets a precedent. I found some place in North Carolina.
Right.
Your similar situation. And it worked out to your favor. Guess what? I'm presenting that to you, Judge.
Yes.
But if you have a lawyer that can't fight well for you, and he's lazy, don't want to do no homework on you, he can't find no precedents.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to do. Can I find an example in Scripture? Can I find an example in Scripture? The God gave me double for my trouble. Restore my losses. Can I find one example? Maybe two. If you find two or three, you're off and running. For the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But you got to dig like you want that good lawyer to dig for you. Is there a precedent set? And the Bible's full of precedents. What I've done for her. What I've done for him. And all you got to do is believe. Say believe.
Believe.
And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. Look at God. Come on. Verse 10 or 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Stop there for a moment. As you get older, you ought to be more blessed. You ought to be more blessed.
Amen.
I'm going to side over here. They're calling me now. As you get older, you ought to be blesser. Bless the latter end of Job more than the beginning, but Job has some correction of his error and his thinking. As God has it, as he had an encounter with God and his word talking to him, he made an adjustment in how he viewed God. Sometimes we hear a word of scripture, but we say, nah, you don't make an adjustment. And then the latter end may not be good like it was in the beginning for you. When you make adjustments, say make adjustments.
Make adjustments.
You can have what God did for Job in his life.
Right.
When we stop stewing on it, stop being bitter. I understand. I'm not trying to say you get bitter, you sin. You know, you don't want to stay there. You got a purpose to live for.
That's right.
It does. It doesn't do us any good to do that. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. Now, on your own, look at the first chapter on your own of Job and say whatever number you see here, like 14,000, he had 7,000, so it doubled. He literally doubled.
All right.
He got twice as much. Say twice as much.
Twice as much.
I like God. Come on, God, I like you. I love you, Lord. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep. First chapter, he had 7,000. 6,000 camels. In the first chapter, he had 3,000. 1,000 yoke of oxen. In the first chapter, he had 500. 1,000 female donkeys. In the first chapter, he had 500. Sound like double to me. Mm-hmm. Verse 13. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He got some orchid children. This is huge. My daughter, my son, they may have passed away. I understand. I mean, who wants that? Nobody wants that. But God can give you more. If not biological, spiritual children. Give you some children that will love you and be a friend to you that's closer than a what? Brother. If you be open to God's blessing in your life. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward toward those things that are before you. For I press toward the mark of the high calling, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You got to let some stuff go, my friend. As hard as that saying may be, almost like, come on, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yeah, you don't forget about what happened to that person, what happened in your life. You don't dwell on it. When we get God's perspective, he thinks eternity. He don't think earth, as we know today. He don't think this is our lifetime. He thinks eternity.
Amen.
We got to see God properly. Verse 13. And he also has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 14. And he called the name of the first Jemima. Hey, it's in the Bible. Not just Betty Crocker. Aunt Jemima, right? Yeah. Just saying. The oldest one was Jemima. The name of the second was Keziah. The name of the third was Karen Huppuck. A little different sounding. But that didn't bother her. Guess what? Read the next verse with me. Verse 15. In all the land were found no women so fine and beautiful as the daughters of Job. Call me what you want. I'm fine and beautiful. All right? Woo! And their father, let me stop there. In all the land. In all the land. There were no women as beautiful as Job's daughters. You know, 3 God gave him, that's additional 3 after the first 3 passed away. I wonder, probably knowing God as well as I do. I don't suggest I know him all perfectly, but as well as I do, knowing God is good, that every time you look at those fine daughters walking down the street and coming in with the kitchen, giving daddy his plate and stuff like that, he thought about the goodness of God. Yeah. The goodness of God. Say the goodness of God. In all the land were found no women. Talk about restoration, God. He don't just give you this little, you know, you get a brand new car all totaled out and give you a little 10-year-old car. No, he ain't doing that. See, you got to see God properly. And here's a man that went through major setback, major problems. But because he got his thinking adjusted and kept fear out of his life, God gave him much more. See, it always going to come back to what we do about it. It's never about what God want to do. Job recognized I was saying things out of my mouth I did not understand. I've done that before. Said stuff I didn't. I thought I understood, didn't understand. Okay. The issue is correct yourself. Amen. When you recognize I made a mistake, I got my thinking wrong, I'm going to adjust. Then God can work with you. Same way your math teacher can. Come on, talk to me. Well, I thought this is the answer. That ain't the answer. You don't do it that way. But I thought, until you make an adjustment, talk to me. You don't get no A. No matter how hard you try. There's one way to do it. You don't argue with the physics teacher, the calculus teacher, algebra teacher, Spanish teacher, German teacher. This is the way you do it. English teacher, the punctuation is done this way. Spelling teacher, come on, talk. Come on, y'all, come on. Why would God be any different? He has a way of doing things. And if we don't know, and when he listens, no, just, okay, God, I'm going to correct it, and I'm going to do it right now. Are you following me? That's all you got to do. Otherwise, you take it personal, and when we take it personal, then it limits our ability to receive all that God has for us. Same way in your classes. Hinders our ability to do well in that class because we're mad at the teacher. And he's paying his mortgage. Okay. His car is paid for by now. And then it says, latter part of verse 15, and their father gave them, speaking of the daughters of Job, an inheritance among their brothers. That's significant because the tradition was the girls did not get an inheritance, just the boys. But guess what? Job probably thought, you know what? I'm so blessed. God, you're so good. I got to be good to my daughters. You're good to them anyway. They look so fine around here. Okay, I'm going to bless them with an inheritance too. Or else why mention it? Why mention it? I'm going to bless my daughters. Well, God. Oh, God. Why? I'm blessed. If he still had attitude residual, you know, God not all that good. He's not good all the time. You know what? No, he wasn't experiencing that. So he wanted to be a blessing. The Bible says you're blessed to be a what? Blessing. And the last verse, I'm let you go. This is powerful. I love it. Job 42, verse 7, 16. After this, Job lived 140 years. Say 140 years.
140 years.
That's after he had this incident. Well, he had kids, grown kids, so he was probably at least 35, 40 years old. Come on. Probably more than that. Had to have years to have all of them. All right, that's about to had a bunch of twins or something like that. All right, are you following me? Yeah. Maybe in his 50s, possibly. Let's assume he lived to be another 140, 190 years or more. Don't tell me God's not good. See, stop looking at people. Stop looking at people as your example. Look at God. Always look at the word. Don't even look at preachers. Don't look at me. Look at the Bible.
Amen.
Look at the Bible.
Amen.
I can miss it, my friend. Look at the Bible.
Amen.
And don't prefer people's example more than God's example.
That's right. Amen.
And he's telling us now, he's good. Say, he's good. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died. Say, he died.
He died.
But notice what? Old and full of days.
Amen.
He was old, but he wasn't decrepit, though, because he had full of days left. He decided, I'm going to go now. Uh-huh. Notice, full of days.
Amen.
Full of days.
Amen.
You mean he didn't just die and couldn't get out another day in there? No, he had full of them. He just said, I'm ready to go now. I'm grateful, Father. I want to spend time with you. Like Jacob did. Read the Bible. He called his children in. He blessed them. Then the Bible says he just gave up the ghost. It's in your Baptist Bible. In your Methodist Bible. In your Church of God in Christ Bible. In your Lutheran Bible.
Amen.
In your Bible. He just gave up the ghost. That's the life that's available for us. Does everybody get it? No.
Yeah.
Everybody don't get it. But it's available. And that's what Pastor Ed and many of you are shooting for. God's best. Say God's best.
God's best.
And when it doesn't happen, we don't say, I'm going to give up on God now. I'm not going to pray no more. Just say, Lord, show me any part I may have done this. And guess what? At the end of the day, when believers die, for example, they go with Jesus. You're a believer. You spend eternity with Jesus. You'll see him again. There's a lot we don't know. The Bible said the secret things belong unto God. But those things that are revealed belong to us. Guess what? Everything is not revealed to us. But what is revealed, we can latch on to that. So I'm trying to judge anybody when things happen. All I know, I'm preaching the Bible.
Amen.
It may not be applied to every single situation. May not be. But I know some of them are. Probably many. Because fear is a big thing that opens the door. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those watching, don't leave right now.